Honks was really delayed from when I hit the button. I don't know. This is Pure Decking, show number 480 for Thursday, May the 19th, 1992. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and using eBay to determine the value of other people's property. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
I have booze, and life got better as soon as I poured it.
Ah, yeah, yeah, I poured myself a bit of Woodford's tonight, too. So
I like that, using eBay to measure the price instead of Amazon.
It gives you a better idea of what it'll resell for. Actually, what I've been doing is I got a bunch of old audio gear that I haven't used in years that it's good stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't think I'm ever going to use it. So I was trying to decide, is it worth listing this stuff on eBay or just, you know, Goodwill or what? And no, some of that stuff is worth listing on eBay. So it's like, you know, it's like, that's worth some money. And then, you know, you start scrolling through things I've seen that I know some other people have. And it's like, So anyways, bad joke. But, and we have an Are You?
Oh, it's midday, but I just rolled out of bed.
That's the best way.
Oh, it's fucking days. This is not me. I'm not a starting my day at midday guy. I'm a 6 in the morning.
Oh, if you sleep half your day away, you might as well just sleep the rest of it away?
I'm not a sleeper, madman. That's the point.
But then you don't get to use that cool line from Dune.
Yeah, too early in the afternoon.
Yeah, it was a bad joke. It was a very bad joke.
I just pushed down my first coffee of the day. And usually this is my second by the time I've hit the show.
just not ready for that level of reference, huh?
Yeah, I'm not there. Like, I spent the entire night just burning candle at both ends, you know, using a lot of fucking horsepower.
No, I get it.
And I'm just not there, man, and it's not my usual thing, so I'm a little discombobulated, as the kids would say.
I get it, dude. It's all fun. So
I wish I was getting paid, though. The amount of fucking work I put in.
Yeah, you need to get at least a couple of letters of rec or something for it so you can show that I exist.
And I wasn't doing entry level shit either. It was management style.
So, a little different for the discussion topic this week. Came across this screenshot in the Cyberpunk subreddit, right? And it's referencing Twitter doing their damnedest to try to clean up before the new management comes in, which I know that's up in the air now, but so the screenshot shows a Twitter account that somebody has put it out, and they've blurred the account so you can't really see what it's from, but it says, "I lost 50,000 followers since Twitter began banning bots. Now I'm sitting around 90 followers." So somebody went from 50,000 to 90. If they're to be believed, right? You know, I can't see the Twitter account to verify it, but every single one of my mutuals that I've interacted with in the past 8 years have been bots, and I never even realized. Think about that. Somebody's entire existence on Twitter was interacting with the bots, and they didn't know that they were talking to bots.
Well, think of how in-depth they got the conversations. A lot of the stuff I've seen on Twitter, people talking back and forth, it's small talk. A bot could easily...
Okay, well, a story's dropped in the last 2 hours relating to Elon Musk starting out in the small corners of the internet, but apparently Elon Musk has flashed his dick at SpaceX flight attendants.
Yeah, I heard that.
It's coming. Oh, he said 3 weeks ago, man. They'll go at him hard.
But I'm just, you know, I'm just marveling that somebody's entire existence could be this. I mean, and they, in the screenshot, they've got this text at the bottom saying, you know, go beyond the obvious and realize how frightening it is that there are, you know, quote, social media influencers out there who truly believe that the majority is on their side, but it's bot accounts all along and nobody's actually listening to them. They were yelling into a void, which was sending back fake voices of approval and affirmation. Fucking sirens, dude. And if that was, yeah, modern horror story. I mean, your every interaction online is literally with, you know, a script running somewhere telling you that you're right because you're saying what the script likes, whether it's for advertising or political or whatever reason, right? And
if you believed otherwise up until now, you're a fool.
That's true. That's true.
Because the internet is not real.
Well, I mean, we used to joke all the time about we didn't know who in the channel was a bot and who wasn't.
Exactly.
I mean, the only reason I don't think you guys are bots is because we did a meetup and I met most of you all in person, as much as I don't want to admit it.
You didn't see me change my oil halfway through that. And I did some maintenance on Madman outside a hotel one night.
Well, you know, I'm sure his batteries were, you know, getting close to time for replacement, so.
Yeah, I had to knock down a couple of birds and take their batteries.
Oh, yeah, birds aren't real. I forgot about that one.
And if you believe the moon landing happened, fuck, you believe in the moon? You're a fool.
Then what are people bouncing radio waves off of? And we can say all this
now because the disinformation czar is dead.
I have that story.
Scary Poppins got put down.
Yep, that's out the... I got that one like three stories in.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. Get back to what you were talking about.
So, but I mean, Madman's got a point that if none of these people ever had an actual in-depth conversation, because I don't know about you guys, but whenever you've had to deal with like a chatbot, or I really, you know, I used to get the ones where the robots were calling you on the phone, right? You know, some telemarketing thing. It was really fun when you could tell it was a bot because you got it to like reset the script or say something it wasn't supposed to say in response, or, you know, you start speaking, you know, it's a joke from sci-fi. Oh, speak nonsense at it. It won't know what to do. That kind of works depending on some of the bots. just because the script doesn't know how to interact with it. So it tries to make a best guess based on what you've said. And, you know, it's usually wrong.
To go down the rabbit hole, news organizations have used Twitter to push the how relevant a story is. So how much of this was self-feeding of news organization A spins up enough bots to discuss the topic they wanted to discuss because it's now trending on Twitter?
Well, here's the scarier question. Okay, maybe the news organizations themselves are spinning up bots. I mean, that's certainly been an open secret forever that, oh, you want so many followers on Facebook or Twitter, you go pay the right people and enough bots will come in and follow it to get your numbers up so that you can get started on a platform, right? That's been an open secret forever. But what if they didn't know they were bots? What if these news organizations were taking these follower accounts and just assuming they were real? I mean, that to me is scarier, because then it's not the news organization pushing an agenda based on, you know, inflating numbers of things they like, but I you know, then it's who's pulling that string, who was setting up these bots, and why, you know. I mean, the obvious one's advertising, but it gets weird quick when you start thinking about it, you know.
Yeah, but on the advertising, the only thing I can think of is if the individual owning the account was spinning up bots.
Well, it's not. It's that or reselling.
They would get credit for it. Yeah.
That was the usual scam. Like, you know, the classic picture of the lady, you know, in the coat in some part of China with like 100 phones on this custom built rack in front of her to go. I think that one was supposed to be a review spam. But, I mean, you know, again, that's them trying to defeat the bots by having at least an actual human tap the button, right? You know, or not the bots, but the bot detection. So, Although there's the other question is what if your activity on Twitter was so mundane and predictable that they decided you were a bot when you're not? You know, prove you're not a robot. Wait, what? It's like, no, I'm not just a script, I swear. I'm not written in Python.
Are we in Australia? Do I need to send you a picture of my penis to verify who I am?
Don't be tubing in this place, up, man.
I mean, I imagine to detect these bots, they're probably using a combination of analytics and, well, hell, they're probably just looking at logins. Like, do I see more than 10 logins of accounts from the same IP? You know, are they all coming through a VPN provider? You know, things like that. You know, there are ways to do it just based on correlating from login and you know, especially things like a lot of sites, you don't really see it advertised very much, but a lot of websites, especially social media sites, they're not exactly waiting on you to hit submit to analyze what you're putting in text boxes. A lot of times they're monitoring your keystrokes as they go in.
That's how Google's guessing what you're wanting to search for.
Oh, sure. But it's the same it's the same technology. That one's doing it kind of on the fly. But it would be pretty easy to look at an account and see an account that's never typed at human speeds, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go, okay, that's probably a bot. Or if it's an account that's only ever used the API, never actually used the website, well, could just be somebody who's got an Android app they really like, but it also could be a bot. So, you know, there's the other thing is how, you know, do you have false positives on these bot identifications? And of course, false negatives are still a thing because the people who write the bots usually go through steps to try to at least make them appear human so they don't get immediately nailed by the bot detection. So, see, I guess I'd
be... You think Twitter's going to come back with a lower price? Or do you think Elon might actually walk away?
I think they're going to end up in court. I think they're going to end up suing each other for, you know, fraud and disclosure violation and you know, each side trying to close the deal and get the $1 billion from the other side, the penalty. I think...
Twitter has beyond just getting the penalty, but Elon couldn't. The only one that would really have a big suit would be Elon if he's saying I don't want to pay the penalty, and these guys lied to me at with how many followers they had.
Oh yeah, he can definitely claim fraud. I mean that's you know look you know but, saying look you're trying to inflate the value of your company by with all these fake accounts. Yeah, he's definitely got a case there. But
imagine being so rich that you can just walk away from $1 billion.
I imagine at some point the numbers stop really mattering.
Yeah, when you can walk away from $1 billion, the numbers stop mattering.
Go ahead, are you?
Well, numbers don't matter when you're that rich, but if that Veritas video is to be believed of the undercover sting with the executive guy, well, I only work 4 hours a week.
Do you see the follow-up?
Yeah, I saw him running.
Yeah.
That
was funny.
I caught that just before the show. If that's to be believed, then this is a venture capitalist fucking wet dream, man, productivity-wise. That means you can go in, clean house, and probably one-quarter staff could run the place. By working 7 days a week, well, it's 5 days a week.
Well, you think about think about some of the stuff that Elon's proposed. He's wanting, you know, he's wanting to take it back to where the only thing he's moderating is anything that's against the law. He wants to go back to free speech, right? Okay, so you're not trying to determine what's hate speech. You're not trying to determine, you know, what's offensive to somebody. You know, you're just, you know, hey, if it's not violating the law and it's not being reported as something, you know, really, really bad, we're not going to do anything about it. All of those content moderators, don't need them. Gone.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that that guy saying bragging about only working 4 hours a week is true. Because Twitter doesn't exactly roll out new features all the time. Now, I haven't used the platform in years, but from what I can see, it doesn't change that much. Not really. You know, sure, they might tweak the algorithms here and there, and they're probably doing tons of internal reporting and analytics on the data, but, you know, what do you need a whole team of engineers for if that's what you're doing? Now, don't get me wrong. You need a team of engineers for any software-based product, but I have a feeling they have a lot of people who don't do very much in that company. And right, that it would be very easy to come in, clean house, and you think that guy's probably making is a senior engineer.
Oh,
4 hours a week worth of work.
Couple hundred grand, right?
In there. It'd be up there, yeah.
It'd be up there. And let that be a lesson to all the young men that listen to this program. If you're making a couple of hundred thousand a year and you work in a sensitive position and somebody out of your league comes and sits with you and flirts, it's a trap. Just saying.
Well, if you're going to leak your company's information, just, you know, make sure that it's worth your while.
Wait till after you, banger.
Exactly. Do it on the pillow talk like fucking it used to be done.
Well, I mean, I was trying to be a little bit more discreet about it, but Mad Men went there, so. Yeah, I mean, make sure it's worth your while.
Get some before fucking disposing those secrets, you know? Because if it's a true honeypot, she'll go through with it.
You know, make them earn the title of honeypot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least Eric Swallow got the fucking, you know, to bang the Chinese spy for a while.
He's still in government. How does that work?
I know. Dude, okay.
He still has top secret clearance.
You don't know how bad your country looks from the outside right now.
Oh, I have an idea. I'd like to see throw them all out, clean sweep, new government.
Ain't gonna happen.
I know. Let's talk about something more almost common. This is from PCGamer.com. IT admin gets 7 years for wiping his company's servers to prove a point. And this is hilarious because I know several admins who've threatened to do this. I mean, you know, every admin dreams of doing this just, you know, get the point across of they're not listening to us. They don't respect us. I'll show you how much you need us. I mean, it's purely, what was the guy's name in Office Space? With the swing line stapler.
I can't remember his name.
He's going to burn the building down.
Yeah. I mean, that thought goes into every IT admin's head at least once after they're getting yelled at by some middle manager who doesn't know what the fuck they're on about. And
I need the unicorn.
No, that conversation doesn't happen at least once a day. Yeah, it's always great fun when you get somebody in middle management who doesn't know anything about what they're on about, who constantly makes demands of IT, and they're used to getting their way because they've got a VP in their job title. It's like, all right, sure, you're going to fund that? What? No, just make it happen. Can't. Not without spending a stupid amount of money to make what you want happen. Well, just make it happen and walk off. Yeah, it's like, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's gonna happen. So, an indignant IT admin seemingly aiming to prove that the lax security his employer had heretofore ignored proceeded to delete a bunch of virtual or vital financial databases and has been subsequently given 7 years in prison as a result. Ooh, that's not going to be a great story when you're sitting in line and they say, what are you in for? And he says, pressing the delete key.
And what's
that's gonna be like? That's gonna be up there saying you put in prison for littering.
He doesn't get to make his point because the counter argument management's gonna have now is, well, it wasn't an external threat, and how do you prevent someone with access from intentionally deleting shit?
You don't. You have a plan to recover from it. But anyways, it's what's known in the IT trade as cutting off your nose to spite your face, or inadvisedly hulking out on your on a server you are known to have access to and have already complained about. Yeah, that's the problem in security. If you by the way, as much as you might joke about, you know, I could just go on 4chan and leave a couple of interesting service accounts in there and see what happens. The problem is, you make that joke once, you can never actually do it. Not that that's a good idea. Don't actually leak your company's internal service account passwords, because people on the internet will abuse it. But
now you're the suspect.
That's right.
Always.
That's right. If there's ever leaked credentials and you've made that joke even once.
Yeah, it's after the prescription grab bag. You don't get to go to pharmacy meetings anymore.
Oh, you should tell that story. Have you told that story on Decking?
I don't think I have, but I used to work retail and was low-level management at the time, and they were asking for ways to boost sales in different departments, and no one from pharmacy could think of anything that would boost their sales. So I had to. I just popped up and made the suggestion of prescription grab bag. You might get a bag full of Flintstone vitamins, you might get Vicodin, you don't know. But it's non-refundable. They're just all going to be in the cheap paper bags we have thousands.
It's a mystery box with potential narcotics.
Yeah, it's a mystery box with random shit in it.
A lucky dip for narcotics. Jesus Christ, madman.
And you
how did you not get promoted?
The price point. Like, we'll do it $15 a pop, because you got to think the markup on these vitamins. I mean, at that point, what, we sell 100 vitamins for every bag of Vicodin and we're making a profit here? And for some reason after that, whenever my duties were called for in the pharmacist wanted a different manager. It was like, I think you might be a security risk. I'm like, well, yes, but I'm going to tell you about it later on. I log everything correctly.
We have perfect records of me being an idiot.
We have perfect records of me making these suggestions. And I did this on a corporate call. They know what I'm thinking.
What are they,
I'm not the guy you need
you
to watch out for. It's the guy that keeps his fucking mouth shut.
Han Bing, a database administrator for Linja, a Chinese retail estate brokerage previously known as Homelink, was allegedly one of only five people in the security team with access to the company's financial systems databases. So when somebody logged in with root access to Linja's financial system and deleted the lot, the company already had a handful of suspects. Four of the five handed over their laptops and passwords immediately, because that's what you do. Herat is back, listening on the phone while setting up his desktop. Welcome back. You know, this is, by the way, one of the reasons, if you are issued a corporate machine, you do not do anything personal on that machine. One, it's full of monitoring software if you work for a company of size, I promise you. But two, I know because I recommended it and we pushed a lot of it, but but two, you do not do anything personal on that corporate machine. I mean, if you absolutely must log into a personal email account, I would highly recommend you don't. If you ever think you really need to log into your personal finance accounts from that work machine, again, probably not a great idea. And in this day and age where you got a smartphone that you do not have to connect to the corporate Wi-Fi, by the way, you have no actual reason to do anything personal on that corporate device. Because the moment something happens, or even if they just think something might have happened, somebody in the corporate office can request you to hand that machine back in right now, no questions asked, because they need to look at it forensically. And you know what? If the forensics guys came up to me and said, turn in your machines, because, yes, I have more than one corporate machine for reasons, I'd hand it to them right now without question and say, by the way, do me a favor. If you find any corporate policy documents with personal insults and you know, you know, dirty language in it. Would you clean it up before you return the machine? And clear the browser history for me while you're at it. You know, I mean, I don't mind making that joke because I know what's on those machines, and it's nothing. It's nothing that I have to worry about because it's all work shit. But, yeah. So you know, in this database here, yeah, four of the five just like, yeah, here you go. Here's my shit, because they knew it's not theirs. A corporate issued machine is not your machine. I see too many people who treat them like a personal machine. And they're not. It's a corporate machine. It's not owned by you. It's not, you know, the accounts aren't yours. It does not belong to you. It belongs to your employer. Treat it as such. You know, do you, you know, sure, a lot of people like to decorate their offices and their cubicles, you know, put up little things like that. But you're probably not putting up your most sensitive photos or your most intimate details, you know, yeah. Let's see. Rat says, watched a video where a guy had a 4G tablet with keyboard at work, was SSH'd into a headless machine at home, just reattached to TMX desktop he had set up to check his personal email, Reddit account. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have, no word of a lie, I have a whatever edition of iPad Pro this is. It's the one right before they switched over to the M1 chips that I bought the keyboard for, and I pay for a cell phone plan for this thing, 5G, 4G, whatever it is. I honestly have forgotten now whatever the modem in this guy is. I think it's 5G capable. There's no 5G towers around me, so I can't test that. But, yeah, and I do the exact same thing. Well, I don't use TMUX desktop. I use some other remote access stuff. Usually I just do it straight from the pad through the cell connection. I usually don't even bother bouncing back home unless I'm messing with servers at home. I do the exact same thing. If it's personal, it happens on a personal device, whether it's a phone, a tablet. I used to carry a personal laptop until I was carrying like three machines for work, and then it's got a little stupid. So the old backpack gets a little heavy by the time you've had the fourth laptop, you know. But I'm on the acquisition team, so I have to get into multiple networks, and that usually ends up with multiple machines. It's stupid. But, yeah, so absolutely.
I was thinking, do you have to have a laptop for each business line? That's what it's working out to.
Yeah, basically. Because of the separation of duties and separation of access, yeah, usually when we're doing an acquisition, I end up with a machine that's issued just for that individual so I can connect into it, unless they're big enough to have like a Citrix or RDI or workspaces or something like that for me to get into. But one, a Lenovo made convertible laptop with Linux on ARM. What's that, the Yoga line they've got that does that, where you can like snap the keyboard off? MacBooks are 13 inches. Well, I mean, the older Airs are even smaller, if you don't mind getting the older ones, and they're probably cheaper on eBay. But yeah, no, seriously. Even if what you're doing is getting, like, the $100 Android tablet off Amazon, if you're going to do that, at least get you a reputable brand, not one of the super cheap, no-name Chinese tablets. Hey, hell, go to Walmart and get one of the tablets there if you want to get something cheap. And, you know, do your personal shit on that if you don't have a, you know. I'm just saying, don't put it on a work computer because you may have to hand over that machine at any time. And if it's a smaller company you're working for, you definitely want to maintain that separation of duty because they usually have really, they really don't have the controls in place and they're not going to know what they want when it comes time to do it. I can't tell you the number of small places I've worked at that they didn't have the right equipment, and I've used personal equipment to get work stuff done, and I now realize how stupid that was because they could have made a claim to keep my equipment saying it's now a business thing. And it's like, no, it's not. But, you know.
The Morps, there's a Steam game I want you to buy me.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Yeah, either that or I'm reporting you to your company for using private shit. Blackmail.
Well, that's the fun part. We're talking about six companies ago. So go ahead.
Damn it.
My boss will laugh at you. So, actually, no, my boss will say, yeah, I know. He remoted in from his phone while doing 80 miles an hour on the highway to change a fucking group policy on a Saturday, and we all yelled at him for that.
In a 60-mile-an-hour zone.
Maybe. I actually don't remember what the speed on that particular road is. I just remember, you know, having to call him up, you know, having to, you know, call the boss afterwards and say, all right, it's fixed. It's like, didn't you tell me you were driving this weekend? Yeah. You know, I told her where I was going, obviously, but I wouldn't, you know, show. I don't need to tell you where I was driving. Yeah. I was driving up to visit family. And it's like, yeah, aren't you driving now? Yeah. What did you use to remote into the server? My phone. So you used a cell phone while driving on the highway to run RDP and a VPN client into our desktop and correct an Active Directory group policy. And I said, because our current AD admin's an idiot. Yes. And she goes, aren't you, but you're driving. Yes. She said, don't do that again, and hung up on me.
I'd like to point out, it was a straightaway at the time.
Dude, all American highways are straight. It was boring fucking country to drive in ever.
Been to the wrong states, my friend. You need to move east. Where we have hills.
The middle of the country is pretty damn flat, so, I mean, you know, anyways. We didn't finish the story. We got off into la-la land here. Let's go. Yeah, four of the five handed over their laptops and passwords immediately, while Bing refused to hand over his password, claiming that it held private information. Yeah, you see, there's your mistake. You do not put personal shit on company hardware. Especially because one of those other security admins probably could get into it anyways.
The personal information he was hiding was record of him deleting shit.
Right? He agreed to access the device for the company's investigations while he was present, and no incriminating evidence was found in his machine. No shit, he had time to clean it up. The company, however, claimed the attack could only have been done by simply connecting to the server in a way that would leave no residual traces on the client laptop, which is totally a thing, sure. Linux Live Disk. Subsequent electronic forensics analysis of the company's server logs, alongside the use of the company's CCTV footage, was able to link records held onto the server with the host name of Bing's MacBook, Yggdrasil. He named his MacBook after the world tree. As well as a certain Mac and IP address linked to his computer. Let's see. Yep, they make a Valheim reference, and the fact that it's Elden Ring. Okay, whatever. Anyways, with all the evidence in hand, Beijing Tonga Farsi Forensics Identification Center concluded none of the other personal or potential suspects could be linked to the attack on June 4th, 2018, and Han Bing was therefore found guilty of damaging computer information and sentenced to 7 years in prison. Initially, that feels a bit harsh on the guy, but he did basically destroy four different servers, assaulting the Earth so none of it could be retrieved, and grinding the company's operation to a halt. It then had to pay some $30,000 as amends for the fact that Lin Jiamao employees were left without pay for an extended period of time. So, yeah, he basically shut his company down, proving that there was a security issue. But it sounds like he used a local terminal access and root access to get into it to do it. So that's sort of like claiming that your data center has a physical security issue because you might let me in there with a hammer. It's like, well, but yeah, you're a security admin. You have rights to go into the data center. Well, it's like, yeah, so I could go in there with a hammer and start pulling wires and breaking shit. Take a knife with me and start cutting Ethernet lines so you have a hard time getting it put back together. It's like, okay, that sounds like you're the security issue, not our configuration. Bing's colleagues have suggested the reason behind his deletion of the company records was down to the fact that he discovered the security of the financial system was compromised and his concerns were ignored. He worked with another database admin to bring the issue to his seniors in the organization, but was apparently dismissed. It's alleged this led to Bing arguing with the other colleagues, and after his office was relocated, it was suggested that he no longer felt valued by the company, was passive and sluggish, often late and early, and there's also the phenomenon of absenteeism. That's according to the Edge Machine translation, so make of that what you will. Maybe Bing thought he was going to be rewarded for highlighting... No. He was just pissed. Until you cut a PoE cable end up on the wall or watch people die. There's not that much voltage going through a PoE cable, dude. If there was, your Ethernet wires would need to be thicker. No, there's not. I mean, there's some voltage there, but there's not enough there to actually. I mean, you might get a jump, but you're not going to get... It ain't going to kill you. Now, if you go cutting one of the feed lines to one of those nice big UPSs, those are usually at 240 volt and have enough amperage to run a server rack. much about higher standards than 2 volts. You're correct. You're right. But no, there's just not enough current on a PoE line to do much more than maybe get a jolt out of you. But, you know, if you hit the... You hit that UPS feed line. Well, yeah, that would be it today on Jackass. So, anyways, yeah, being a disgruntled employee at work and fucking up your servers is probably not a good thing to do. Maybe just job hunt, you know?
Yeah.
Especially today, people are so desperate.
Or if you're trying to make a point, at least make it where it's related to the flaw that you found.
And have a way out of it. You know, whenever I used to do these demonstrations of a security issue and the damage it could do, we found either a way to simulate the damage, like going up to the point of, and all we have to do is press this button, but not, you know, actually pressing the button. And two, you schedule a meeting with management and you walk them through it. Or...
Yeah, but also, too, Morps, if you see a problem, make sure you have a solution before you start making noise.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, you're just a dude who makes noise and eventually become the kid who cried wolf.
Well, you know, you do need a solution in hand. Unfortunately, usually that solution is tell your developers to go fix their code. And, of course, the developers don't ever want to hear that, so they'll say the problem is something else. But, probably my favorite one of those that we did. Well, no, my favorite one was one where there were a bunch of digital display signages that we figured out they were vulnerable to some common... they were vulnerable to MSO 867, so we were able to compromise a couple of them, and then from compromising the handful of display systems, we were able to get the back-end maintenance passwords to the entire device, which were actually cracked way too quickly, because I actually thought LoftCrack was broken because it cracked the passwords so fast that, like, I was going to let it run over lunch. I hit run, I stand up, and it goes bing, and it's like, no. And I look, and yep, it had cracked all the backdoor service passwords and maintenance passwords. So we then went around and we decided to recreate the scene from Tony Stark in Iron Man 2 where he holds up his phone and just starts throwing crap up on the displays in Congress or whatever it was. So we recreated that by having some buttons on my, it was a iPhone at the time. And, yeah, so I could walk up to any of the displays, tap my phone twice, and we could make whatever we want popped up. So my boss went and photoshopped a bunch of bikini pics to make it look like it was porn popping up because it was a public display, and we thought that would get their attention. And it did, and it was a funny gag. And so, yeah, our demonstration was literally walking up to one of the digital displays and saying, here's what we figured out how to do. And I just hold up my phone like it's taking over the screen. Of course, all the work's already been done, right? It's all theater. But it's like, yeah, just hold up my phone, tap it, and then all these windows start popping up, and it's like, you know, competing schools, porn, all this other stuff. And
you know why they got worried, Morps? Because to them, it's a magic box.
That's exactly... Well, that's how we presented it, which probably didn't help. But it did get them to fix a It did get them to let us try to get some of it fixed. Unfortunately, the manufacturer of the magic boxes that ran those screens didn't want to admit that there was a problem with them. And so instead tried to claim that, oh, no, you're only supposed to run these on private networks that nobody else has access to. It's like, yeah, where's that in your documentation? It's not.
And, oh, but it's coming soon in documentation 3.0.
Yeah, they also said they could not correct the really crappy backdoor passwords that we found. So ultimately, they never got fixed. And somebody a little bit more malicious got a hold of them about a year later, and they actually had to cancel the contract and replace the whole system because the person who – I wasn't the only one to figure it out, basically. And the other person who did it just trashed the operating system of the boxes, so they were unrecoverable.
Damn.
So, yeah. But, no, the more common one is, you know, you bash out a Python script to show that you can dump out the entire database remotely off network without a login or something like that. It's one of the common ones. And then before you make the presentation, you know, you dump out a percentage of the data. Then you ask the database guys if they noticed anything so that you have the email from them saying, no, everything looks fine. Yeah, that's how you get attention. And you say, how do you fix this? Well, your developers need to fix the authentication code. It's like, how do you fix this? Well, here's a documentation to the OWASP top 10 or a link to the OWASP top 10. But, oh, I just realized we're 40 minutes in and we've spent the whole time just random bullshitting as opposed to reading stories. Next article is from justice.gov. I'm only going to read the first paragraph of it. The Department of Justice today announced the revision of its policy regarding charging violations of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The policy for the first time directs that the good faith security research should not be charged. Good faith security research means accessing a computer solely for the purpose of good faith testing, investigation, and or correction of a security flaw or vulnerability, where such activity is carried out in a manner designed to avoid any harm to individuals or the public, and where the information derived from the activity is used primarily to promote the security or safety of the class of devices, machines, or online services to which the accessed computer belongs, or to those who use such devices, machines, or online services. Hallelujah! Holy shit! Somebody realized security research was important, and we probably shouldn't prosecute them for doing it.
Yeah.
Yes. Did this become a whim law, or was it actually in use?
It was a whim law.
Yep.
In fact, several companies would threaten researchers when they were going to do presentations at Black Hat or other major security conferences. Black Hat comes to mind. You know, if you go with this research, if you present your talk, we're going to sue you. And it's happened to tons of researchers. So the Department of Justice saying, nah, we're not going after this, gives these guys at least the ability to fire back. So the problem is that it's not correcting the law. It's just the way the Department of Justice is now interpreting that law in a policy statement. So
it's now just whim, but it's whim with at least this administration will uphold it.
Yeah, they're actually, you know, saying, okay, this is probably the way it should be read in today's context. Cool. The only problem is they haven't fixed the law, which means you get somebody new in charge, not even administration-wise, just somebody new ends up in charge to reinterpret that policy, and bang, now it's back to the other way. So this is why Congress and, you know, should pass the laws and the legislation should sign them rather than, you know, agencies making up laws or, you know, judges making up laws, but we don't need to go there. Next up is from Business Insider. But, of course, this article is all over the place. Nia Jankowicz, also known as Scary Poppins, the author and researcher appointed to lead the Department of Homeland Security's new Disinformation Governance Board, resigned from the DHS on Wednesday, representatives for Jankowicz told The Insider. The decision follows weeks of targeted harassment against Jankowicz from right-wing critics, as well as broad conservative criticism of the Anti-Misinformation Initiative. It wasn't just conservatives who were calling it the Ministry of Truth. Quote, with the board's work paused and its future uncertain, I have decided to leave DHS to return to my work in the public sphere, Jankovic said in a statement emailed to Insider via a spokesperson. Quote, it is deeply disappointing that mischaracterizations of the board's work became a distraction for the department's vital work, unquote.
In other words, they picked the biggest fucking clown that they didn't research a background to go with. Like, don't get me wrong, this department's not going away. It's not going to be talked about ever again.
Well, they remember, they never advertised its existence. It came out in a budget hearing.
Yeah, and they had to put a face on it quickly, and hey, along comes Scary Poppins. Fuck me if it doesn't backfire.
And again,
it's temporarily gone, at least.
We read the Wikipedia entry a couple of weeks ago. We talked about how they claim that they're primarily looking at misinformation coming from foreign sources, which is a little weird that it's in the Department of Homeland Security and not, you know, the Department of Defense. But, I think the Department of Defense has one. So, anyways, the board will remain on pause as Homeland Security Council conducts a thorough review and assessment related to improving the board's transparency, public trust, and ability to fight disinformation, the DHS said in a statement to Insider. The article then goes on about how the whole thing has been, you know, political football back and forth, and the right's mean about it, and the left thinks it's a good idea, and blah, 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 blah. So, anyways, I just don't like the idea of the government determining what truth is. That seems like something that would be abused.
I'm wondering how long the pause is going to be. Are we talking months?
Next
years?
Week.
Weeks?
15 minutes? I don't know. Does not say.
Could be.
It finally, something that didn't... CNN can sort of smile because that lasted less than their CNN Plus.
This is one thing Biden did say he was going to try to bring the country together. And this policy was something that I saw that brought progressives and conservatives together. Yeah. They both hated the idea of the Ministry of Truth. One for what it was doing now and the other for what it was going to do in the future.
Well, think about it. Okay. If you think that the Ministry of Truth is important today, think what happens the next time the party you don't like gets in charge.
Yep. And that was why many of the progressive voices I heard were talking out against it. Like, there could be a Trump in the future. Do you want him to have this power? Well,
no.
Scary. Like, no, I don't want him to have this power now because I don't trust government either side with this power. I'll decide what's true, and then I'll either be right or wrong, and no one will convince me that I'm wrong.
The solution to misinformation is more information. It's not, you know, it's not trying to block misinformation. It's explaining why the misinformation is wrong. And if you can't make convincing arguments as to why the misinformation is wrong, maybe it's not. You have to consider this stuff.
One thing I thought was hilarious is one of the right-wing individuals I saw attacking it wasn't attacking it from the right. They attacked it from the left. You look at Rand Paul's grilling of it. He attacked it as though he was a Democrat from the 70s. He's bringing up Iran and Contra, just all of the stuff that the Republican Party did that was fucked up. I'm like, now, do you want them to be able to cover this up?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like, you know Grenada happened, right?
Bay of Pigs.
Bay of Pigs. So all Bay of Pigs was under a Democrat president. But yeah, he was just sticking it to all the stuff that Republican presidents have fucked up on in his lifetime. He's like, do you want them to be able to cover this up? Because this is what this administration can do if we let the Truth and Reconciliation Board exist.
All right.
Of course, nobody from the other side wanted to argue with him on that.
It would be kind of a rough argument.
Yeah, I just love it. So you're going to defend Ronald Reagan and the Donald in one Senate hearing, the world will explode.
So, next article.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I wonder if Scary Poppins just left that bureaucracy, or if she left the government entirely. I want to look into that.
She said she's going back to private. So
okay.
I'm sure she's got a job lined up with some think tank or news organization somewhere. Hopefully not for her singing ability, based on what I saw on TikTok. Or I guess clips of TikTok, I guess would be the way to say that. Whatever that video was.
I thought she did a pretty good job. That was a decent pair. I'll give her that.
Yeah, better than I could do. I can't really rip on her for that. But cringeworthy. Yeah, it was cringy.
You know, get a job in Broadway and then completely leave public life. That would be a good career for her. Oh, we can even write her a new musical and actually call it Scary Poppins. Oh, I'm going to get on this. Next story.
Next story is from Torrent Freak. The new free trade agreement between Australia and the UK includes a site-blocking paragraph. The text requires the countries to provide injunctive relief to require ISPs to prevent subscribers from accessing pirate sites. While this doesn't change much for the two countries, rights holders are already eyeing similar requirements for trade deals with other nations. Over the years, copyright holders have tried a multitude of measures to curb online piracy with varying levels of success. Site blocking has emerged as one of the preferred solutions. While blocking measures are not bulletproof, the general idea is that they pose a large enough hurdle for casual pirates to choose legal options instead. I don't know, you guys have been making the legal options pretty damned confusing here these days. It's like, you know, you need what? Subscriptions to Netflix, Paramount, Hulu, Disney, I'm forgetting like five.
So, they block it on Sunday, and there's a new one on Monday.
Yeah, probably.
We've been playing this game for the last 5 fucking years, man. Like, how many times have I come in and gone, ah, fuck, more of my pirate sites are down. Anyone got any ones that are up?
And within minutes,
that's never happened.
Yeah. You know, and within minutes, I'm still not pirating because nobody's given me a new one because it works super effectively.
Exactly.
Site blocking has emerged as one of the preferred solutions. While blocking measures are not bulletproof... Oh, I think I read this already. The blocking approach was still relatively controversial at the start of the last decade, but it's increasingly become normalized. Dozens of countries have legal or procedural options to request blockades today. Australia and the UK are among countries that have robust site blocking legislation in place. ISPs in both countries are required to prevent subscribers from accessing thousands of domain names, with more being added every few months. Rights holders are happy with these legal remedies, and authorities are pleased as well. In fact, site-blocking language has made its way into the draft of a new free trade agreement between Australia and the UK, which is being finalized. So here's the actual paragraph that they're including in a... the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm kind of flabbergasted to that it's gotten to the point that piracy sites are making it into free trade agreements. One, each party shall provide its civil justice authorities have the authority to grant an injunction against an ISP within its territory, ordering the ISP to take action to block access to a specific online location in cases where A, that online location is located outside the territory of that party, and B, the services of the ISP are used by third parties to infringe copyright or related rights in the territory of that party. Two, for greater certainty, nothing in this article precludes a party from providing that its judicial authorities may grant an injunction to take action to block access to online locations used to infringe intellectual property rights in circumstances other than those provided in paragraph one. I mean, yeah, they're going to codify it in free trade agreements that they can just block websites. They're saying it's for intellectual property, but once you can do it for intellectual property... what's to stop you from doing it from other things you don't like?
Oh, you know that's how it's going to be used, man.
Of course. That's why I don't like it. It's like, oh, no. Oh. I didn't want to do the story. Talked about it with Suave some, and then I was looking at it more and more. There was an article I had in an earlier version of the show notes about how the New York AG is wanting to open investigations against Twitter, or not Twitter, but Discord and Twitch and 4chan because of the shooting. And I didn't really want to get into it, but yeah, I could easily see, oh no, we've decided these are a hate, you know, 4chan's a hate site. You have to block it. We have free trade agreements, so everyone has to block it. I mean, that's where this is going to end up.
That's how it's going to be used. That's exactly how it's going to be used.
And
or they'll just do what New Zealand did and just went, if you don't block it, we'll take your fucking license off you.
Yeah. So, I mean, and granted, not to defend 4chan or anything, but don't they all have Section 230 protection? And I'm pretty sure Twitch took that video down within like 5 minutes of somebody, you know, of it starting.
Well, I was listening to a couple of dudes argue about Cloudflare getting involved with knocking 4chan out. Where the Cloudflare don't really want to do it because they feel like they're being used as a publisher. So.
Well, they shouldn't want to do it. You know, I've been looking into some FCC rules recently for a different hobby, and one of the definitions in there is what is known as, you know, a good handler of traffic. And the definition is the way they define it is by passing messages received along exactly as they were received.
Yeah.
It's not altering the content or trying to judge it or, and once you start doing that, once you start saying, oh, we have to judge whether this is content we want, I mean, that kind of opens the door, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the ship starts sinking anyway.
At this point, the door's open. You know,
this ship, I look at it like a ship. You know, you can only poke so many holes in it before the hull is compromised. And I think you start altering stuff or start picking losers and winners when it comes to either entertainment. You think about it, like the 90s in my country, the big censor was the Christian right. And they were, oh, no, Dungeons and Dragons is witchcraft. So anybody selling those books got boycotted and stuff like that. Sorry, I butchered that word. And it took a lot of fighting before we got that overturned. Well, just look at video games, man. My country. They just banned them for no fucking reason. Because someone doesn't like the content of the game.
Or the publisher didn't pay them enough under the table.
There you go. This is where we're heading. It's not going to be the market of, you know, winners and losers decided by the market. It'll be decided by governance boards or scary Poppins-like characters and shit like that. You know, that was my argument with the Christian right. Like, who are you to tell me what I can and can't read?
That's kind of the point.
On the opposite side of that is, if you don't protect intellectual property, then there won't be a market for it. Do you think HBO is going to finance some high-dollar sci-fi show like Halo if they can't monetize it? And I don't even know if HBO does that. That might be Showtime.
No, okay, I see where you're coming from. I'm not talking about piracy, madman. I'm talking about just accessibility to different forms of entertainment, content, knowledge, things like that.
On this bill, it is targeting piracy, though. It's not saying you can block any specific website. It is a specific pirating website.
It's saying that you have that either country's courts have the right to request the site be blocked and that the other country's ISPs will honor that block based on copyright infringement, well, intellectual property rights. This agreement doesn't concern me as much because, you know, like you said, it's scoped. It's targeted just to intellectual property. And I agree with you. I don't want the people who make intellectual, you know, who make movies to not make money off of them because everyone pirates them. I would like to see the online services start providing a better service than the pirate sites.
Well, internet in my country, I found out yesterday, is about to go up 20%.
Were they adding a tax or something?
I'm not really sure because all the information in the policy was redacted. They pulled out the costing policy on why they're going to charge 20% more. Well, we don't know if it's even 20% because the price that they're going to move it up by has been redacted. All the actual legislation you needed to fucking read was redacted. All we know is that after the election, there's going to be a major price hike when it comes to ISPs.
Lovely.
Are your ISPs utilities in your country?
The NBN, which taxpayers paid to put it in, then was sold off to a private company, and now that private company is deciding that it just wants more money.
Well,
They
'cause if it's
didn't list
legislation increasing it, then it's the government increasing it. I thought you actually had
everything.
private providers for your internet.
We do, but it is like everything. This country is incredibly fucked up when it comes to public-private partnership.
Okay. So it could be this is technically a private company. You just need to get the government's approval to up stuff, and of course the government's going to approve it
Yeah, and
because they're
then
getting a
actually, it
cut.
sounds like they already have.
They have, and then they just redacted everything we needed to know before the election because it's a cost of living increase, right? Which
How do
is
you
one of the
redact
big.
a law?
I do, fuck it.
It's
That's what I
like
mean.
we've
The only.
redacted these large parts of the law, then how are you supposed to follow it? You hope that you do. It's like, how does that work? You have
Oh,
secret
it's until
laws?
after the election, so you don't know who not to vote for.
Exactly. That's why they did it.
You're going to hear the law after the election, and then
Yes.
we have to
Because,
pass the bill to
look.
find out what's in it. Oh, for fuck's
No,
sake.
do you know why? Because both sides of the politics know that it's a big voters issue of
Have they
cost of
published the
living.
vote? Have they published the vote on the bill? So do you know who voted yes and no?
I don't know. I can't get the fucking information because it's redacted, madman.
They redacted who voted for it too. Fuck yes. This
See, you
It's
have secret
crazy.
votes in your
Basil.
parliament. That's fucked.
Look, I don't know how it works. I only got hold of it about 5 o'clock last night, and by 7 o'clock I was deeply invested in something else. I only read a small bit of it, and I'm just like, why is there so much redacted material in this thing?
Oh, because
Like
because it's
this
dev
affects both sides.
we've redacted everything in here because it's devastating to our case for re-election.
I
Yeah,
would
but it.
suggest finding the vote and just vote against whoever said
Yeah, no
yes.
kidding.
It's too late, man. I'm voting tomorrow morning.
You're just gonna vote for whoever's name is the funniest?
No, I already know who I'm voting for. I've known for a couple of months now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, Vermin Supreme. Everyone votes for Vermin Supreme.
The dude won't get in. The party that he's involved with won't get in. So either way, I know what my vote outcome is going to be tomorrow.
Got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is just flipping hilarious. And, he justifies it with a quote from Cave Johnson on the GitHub page. Science isn't about why, it's about why not. It's a prank program. This is a Linux prank program. It's on GitHub, it's open source. It adds a little watermark to the lower right-hand side of your Linux desktop that says Activate Linux. Go to Settings to activate Linux. To replicate the Windows activate Windows message. Your buddy walks away from somebody, or you want to mess with somebody at work on a server, here you go. This is l much less harmful than deleting the databases like the guy in Hong Kong did. It's just a little GitHub program. It hooks X11 or Xorg or even Wayland, and yeah, it just adds Activate Linux to the lower right-hand portion just for those people who really want to feel that, they've just moved off Windows and they still need to feel like, their software has to be registered. And the second thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight, is an article from TechSpot linking to a the actual project, but I want the article because it explains a little bit. So let me get the links out here. The actual project is called WasteRussianTime.today. And it does. It absolutely wastes Russian time. A hacktivist group calling itself Obfuscated Dreams of Shirt, I don't know how to say this, Sherhazard, has created a bot that sets up a conference call between multiple government entities, causing each to think that the other made the call. The stated purpose is to waste the government's time and tie up the phone lines. The automated spam calls go on nonstop during Russian operating hours. Oh, I skipped the paragraph that said, yeah, they're setting up calls with the Russian government entities. So they've got all these phone numbers of various departments in Russia's government. And they wrote a bot that creates a conference call and just starts ringing people and makes each think the other set up the call so nobody knows why they're on a meeting. Yeah, on Wednesday, the hacking group set up a website where anyone can initiate and listen in on one of the calls. The website is called Waste Russian Time Today. Users visiting the site can scroll down to the telephone icon, start a call between random Russian agencies, and listen to the chaos as they figure out who is calling and why. obviously, knowing Russian might help understand what is said. Still, participants likely get heated as the officials have been probably fielding nonstop nonsense calls all day. Anger and frustration sound the same in any language, regardless of whether anybody uses the site. The bot still places calls without human intervention to ensure it wastes as much time of the agencies as possible. With the justification being, if you're on the phone, you can't drop bombs or coordinate soldiers, the group said. Don't speak Russian? Block the lines. You can always just guess something from the voices, and the more Derma employees are irritated, the better. So, and the actual website, right? And yeah, you can scroll down, and you can see there's the big call button, and it just, and you'll get the audio from it. It is stupid, and it is hilarious, and I love it. Because all it's doing is just annoying people by setting up random conference calls.
Scheherazade. 1001 Arabian Nights is where the name comes from. Can't rush Scheherazade.
Oh,
she's
you.
The woman telling the stories to keep herself from being beheaded by Sultan. Not that anyone cared about that part of it.
So, I told you, we just don't keep him for his looks, Morps.
So that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, in the IRC tonight. Psychros, Lard Cyber, Madman, myself, and Herr Rats was in earlier, but he has lost his connection. I imagine since he was, you know, in the middle of moving, he's accidentally tripped over a cord and is currently screaming profanities at whatever it was. Madman, closing thoughts.
Is it okay if I hit the call button?
I'm not going to stop you.
Are you calling Russians?
I hit the call button. Oh.
Do you know what time it is in Russia?
I'm spinning the
wheels. You know what time it is in Russia?
No.
Neither do I, so.
That's why he's asking. Well, while Madman spins the wheels and makes phone calls, are you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah, if you're looking for a little bit of entertainment this weekend and just want a good old-fashioned story, Operation Mincemeat. It's a good little movie out. You know, it's a dramatization of some spycraft during World War II.
Was that the one where they took the dead bum and dressed him
up?
That
is it.
Okay.
Yep.
That's an amazing story. It is fantastic. Because
look, they've really dressed it up. It's not as gritty as you'd think it would be.
Well, the actual story is amazing because they spent weeks sending fake telegraphs to make sure this guy had a story and a background. They came up with the things that should be in his pockets. I mean,
they created a real person back in the day. It is some good true spycraft stuff, but just be warned, the movie is very flashy.
Oh.
It is very nice. It's got a great cast, good actors. And I would have liked it a little more gritty, but it's a little too nice. But it's a good 2 hours.
Madman, how'd your call go?
Not as much Russian as I thought it would be.
Did it not work?
No, it didn't work.
And it might not be the right time of day. So, we've done the close. I think that's it. Let's start hitting sound effects. Close this out.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm.
And now I don't suffer, because I got a bottle of 60 warm hugs from God.